It's great to be with you today. I am so excited to be here. You know, I just want you to know that everybody here is special, and I know that it was mentioned earlier by our brother Justin. We're so excited to have our visitors with us. We're so excited to have our members with us. I'm going to confess just a minute to you. Sometimes as a minister, you know, you get up and you're a little discouraged because you might look around and see that somebody's not here, or, you know, maybe we have a busy weekend and we're down a little bit or whatever. And sometimes that's a little discouraging. But let me tell you right now, when I look over today and I see Nita Pierce here, I can't be discouraged. I'm telling you, sister, it's great to have you with us today. I know you've been longing for this day to be back. And so we're excited about that. But continue to pray for our sweet sister. She made my day today, and I hope that she's made yours as well. What a blessing it is to gather together. And folks, when you and I can't be here, that's when we miss it the most. If you look back in Scripture, when the Israelites went into captivity, especially Babylonian captivity, and you know there were those alive that remembered what it was like to worship. And when they came out of that captivity, you remember when they read the law and everything and how they were sad and they wept. And, you know, it's just a great time. And I believe they did that because, in large part, they missed worshiping. They missed being together. And that's why this is so special. But it's so special, number one, because we're here to worship our God. And I feel great about that today. I appreciate those who have taken an active part in our worship service. Today I want to talk with you about an opportunity. An opportunity that lies in all of our lives today. And that's the opportunity to answer the door. You see, there are times in life we have people knock on our door. Yesterday I was in the middle of doing some yard work. And I had come in just to cut through the house, to get to the garage, to get another instrument to cut some yard work. And I'm sweaty and I'm messy, and I see that Michelle's gone to the door. It just so happens it's the president of our homeowners association. And he's somebody I taught his child and, you know, and everything. But you know, you go to the door and there you are. You're sweaty. You're nasty and all. But at the same time, it was somebody that I enjoyed talking to. But there are times when we can be perfectly dressed up and we can feel good about ourselves, and we look out the door, we see, and somebody's knocking on the door, or they're ringing the doorbell, and we're like, we're not going to the door. You see, we don't want to talk to that person. We don't want to be around that person, or maybe we want that person just to go away. Well, I want you to know that today we have the opportunity to open the door, and Jesus Christ is on the other side. I want you to think about something today. There's an invitation open for all. This is a great reminder, I think, for me as a minister. When I was going through this sermon and I was thinking about it, I stem it from when I was studying on Wednesday night's lesson and just some things and teaching our class in Philippians on Wednesday nights that triggered this thought to me today. And it's just a blessing to be able to be reminded that we're invited. We're invited. You know, it feels good to get invited to things. But sometimes we get invited to something and maybe we really don't want to go. You know, or maybe we just can't go. And sometimes when we get that invitation, we look at it and then other times we might forget about it. We maybe didn't put it in our calendar, or we didn't put it in our phones or whatever we do these days, and we forget about it. Well, guess what? There's an invitation that's happening right now that we don't want to forget about. There's an invitation outside our door, and here's what it is. The God of heaven, okay? The God of heaven has invited you and me, and He wants to dine and dwell with us today. The God of heaven has invited us. He's at our door. He wants to come in. He wants to come into our lives, and He wants to dine together. He wants to eat. He wants to dwell together. It's the God of the universe, folks. The God of all creation is standing outside our door and He's knocking on it. And it's an invitation we want to accept. I promise you that. Revelation 3, this is the way Jesus put it, beginning in verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now let me pause, push pause for a moment. Let me tell you about the background of this in Revelation. You remember Jesus has revealed Himself to John, okay, in a revelation. And there's a lot of things He's going to tell him about. But right here in the beginning part of it, he tells John that I've got some angels. And angels are messengers. So they were going to go and deliver a message. And there were seven churches in Asia that He delivered those messages to. And in those seven churches of Asia, guess what? We can find everything about the church, the good, the bad, the ugly, in those seven churches. Well, here He's writing to the church at Laodicea. And He says, I want the angel to deliver this message from Jesus Christ. Now, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. Now, before we go any further, you might think, yeah, I remember that lesson, Terry. I know that Jesus is knocking on the door. I remember this lesson. It's a neat lesson, but why is Jesus knocking on the door? And that's a question I think that we need to answer today. Why is Jesus at my door, on my porch, knocking? Why is He on your porch knocking? Is it because we've been bad and He wants to come and yell at us? Is it because we're sinners and He wants to come and whip us for the sins that we've done? Is it because He wants to come in and destroy us? Is it because we got caught, we got busted, and now Jesus Christ has showed up to read us our rights? Or is it something else? Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's something else. It's something way better than anything that I just described. The passage in Revelation 3 is eye-opening. It's life-changing. It's soul-saving. If we allow it to be in our lives today. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. This is talking about Jesus now. Paul describing Jesus. This is what he says about Him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Before I go into what this is going to apply to Revelation 3 about, isn't that a powerful section of Scripture? Isn't that beautiful? I mean, think about Jesus. He's over it all. Nothing is happening without their knowledge, without their permission. Now listen, I understand that Satan is the prince of this world, but Jesus Christ is the King of kings. And God is creator. And God is in charge. And we do not need to get bogged down in what goes on in the world. Yeah, I think we need to be concerned about it. Yes, I think we need to pray about it. But folks, we need to put our hope in God, the one standing at the door knocking. That's what this is about. But when I read Colossians 1, 15 and 16, according to what I'm believing and listening to in Revelation 3, it tells me Jesus is at the door knocking because your life and my life, they matter. They matter. They're special because our lives, contrary to society, our lives are not here for us. Okay? You were born with a purpose. You were woven together in your mother's womb. Okay? Maybe you say, well, I'm a kind of guy that my personality's kind of not really, I don't like to have a lot of fun. Well, that's okay. God made you that way. Well, maybe I like to have a lot of fun. Well, that's okay. God made you that way. You know, maybe I like to do things out in the yard and do yard work. Well, yes, our God, He created the outside, okay? He made you that way. Maybe I like to hunt, to fish. We go on and on. You see, that's the way God made you. He made us. He binded us together, starting with our mothers, in our mothers. Well, because of that, you have a purpose and I have a purpose today. When we came to be born on this earth, our purpose is to serve God. We're here for Him. Did you hear what He said in verse 16? All things were created through Him and for Him. We were created for God. We were created for Jesus Christ. And that's why He stands at the door and knocks. He wants us and He longs for us because He wants to have a relationship with us. It's not about, and this sometimes is our mentality in the church. It's not about, God is here for me. You know, I messed up. I made a mistake. God, I need this. God, I need you to forgive me of this. God, I need you to guide me in this. By the way, He'll do all those things, but He is not here for us. We are here for Him. And we need to note that and remember that. I want to be the best husband I can be. But that's not my sole purpose in life. I want to be the best father I can be. That's not my sole purpose. I want to be the best minister. But that's not my sole purpose. We're not here to make boo-koodles of money. We're not here just to work for retirement. We're here for God. And we need to be, like Jesus, about our Father's business. But we can't do that without answering the door. And Jesus is knocking at the door, and He's doing it right now. But I want you to remember something. The deceiver. I'm going to call Him the deceiver today, but we also know Him as a lot of other things. But Satan, the deceiver, slithered his way right into the lives of Adam and Eve to deceive them. And He slithered His life into our lives and His lies into our lives ever since. You see, He wants fake news in the media, right? He wants to give you some fake news, okay? He wants to give you some lies. He wants to give you some things that are not true. I know the Bible describes Him as the roaring lion, but I like to call Him the roaring liar because that's what He is. He is a liar, and He wants you to believe that Jesus is not standing at the door knocking for you. He wants you to understand and believe that God doesn't care about you at all. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you and me to believe that God doesn't care about us. Oh, don't answer that door. That's a wrong number. Hey, he's at the wrong house. You know why? Because he's got apostles. I mean, he's got disciples and apostles. They can help him. He's got prophets. You know, he's got these people that work for him. He's got angels. He doesn't need you. He's got his Holy Spirit. He's got his Son. In fact, you're one of 7 billion people on the planet. Why would God need you? Don't be deceived. God does need you. God does want you. God does want me, and He's standing outside our door. So let's not waste the invitation. Let's open the door. Because you know what happens? Our lives will be changed. Now this is where the lesson can take a turn. This is where the rubber meets the road in the lesson a lot of times, okay? If you sit there and think, well, I haven't opened the door, or I've kicked him out, you know, then sometimes that can be guilt-stricken. Right now, you may be thinking, I haven't opened the door to Jesus. You know, in January, I really was serious about those resolutions. I was serious about working more for Him, worshiping more, reading more, studying more. I could go on and on about all the mores. But you know, those resolutions, they've gone out the window now. I hadn't been doing it. I feel so guilty. Well, let me stop and say, I believe we need to preach conviction. I believe we need to be convicted. In Acts chapter 2, those 3,000, they were cut to the heart. That's conviction. And today, I certainly, if conviction is what you need to be motivated, then use this lesson to be convicted. But that's not the route I really want to take today. Today, I want us to see, yes, we need to spend more time with God, but I really want us to see that God wants to spend more time with us. He wants to spend more time with us. You see, that is when the relationship changes. That takes the relationship to a whole new level. For instance, you guys are too young for this, right? But when it comes to boyfriend and girlfriend time, y'all can remember. Men and women, husbands and wives out there, you can remember. The way it works, especially when you're in school, and you think, man, I'm going to use it from a male perspective. I really like that young lady. She is pretty. She's kind. I want her to be my girlfriend. Well, then you change your things, and you're nervous, and you can't talk, and, you know, your hands sweat, and all those things happen and everything. And, you know, it's all good. The more you get to sit by her, you feel good about things. But, folks, when you find out she likes you back, it takes the relationship to a whole new level. Today, God has checked the box. He wants a relationship with you. And He wants a relationship with me. And that changes the way we look at this on a whole new level. At least it does in my book. Even in the beginning, He made Adam. And He was so proud of Adam. And when He realized it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, He made Eve. He loved man that much. And by the way, I know you see this after they've sinned. In Genesis 3, you will see that once they sin and they hear God walking, okay, He walks amongst them, and they go hide themselves, and that's kind of in a negative light. But do you think that's the first time God walked with them? I personally don't. they didn't get alarmed by it, even though they hid themselves. They knew this was something. The point is this: God made Adam, He made Eve, and then He walked with them because He desired to be around them. Well, guess what? I believe God still wants us to walk. He wants to walk with us today. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 5. Let me just, Genesis 1 and 2, we learn about creation, okay? Man, those are some staples of our faith. 1 and 2 are very powerful chapters. We need to teach them. The science is teaching a lot of garbage out there. God is the scientist, okay? He is the creator of science. God is the creator of all. And so when I look at God and I look at science, it's in Genesis 1 and 2. Okay? It's there. But then in Genesis 3, we know that chapter. That's when man is deceived. Woman is deceived. They fall. They're sin. Sin enters the world. Okay? Genesis 4, we learn about Cain and Abel. So we've got these chapters. And you know, and we think, well, then there's Genesis 6, and we learn about Noah. But what happened to poor old Genesis 5? Well, let me tell you what happened in Genesis 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. And we quit reading. When we see that word genealogy, we're like, oh no, that's too much. But folks, there's some valuable stuff in this genealogy. And I want us to see it today. Okay? I want us to see it. I forgot my glasses. But I'm going to do this. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. You see a pattern here? So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Okay? Thank you. Enosh lived, look back down in verse 9. Enosh lived 90 years. They're having babies younger now. Okay? You see that, right? They're getting younger and younger these days. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Kenan. After he begot Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. Kenan lived 70 years. There they go, getting younger again. Kenan lived 70 years and begot Mahaliel. And after he begot Mahaliel, Kenan lived 840 years and had sons. You see the pattern, right? So all the days of Kenan were 910 years. Mahaliel lived 65 years, begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahaliel lived 830 years, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahaliel were 895 years, and he died. Now, don't lose me, like you've already lost this in the reading. You're thinking, this is boring, why are we talking about this? Because I want you to see something that's about to happen. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared, 962, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now let's put this in perspective. Adam, 930 years. Seth, 900. All these 900 years. And then comes Enoch. And Enoch has Methuselah. But then he walks with God. And he does it for 300 years. And then it comes a time when God says, and I like to think there was a conversation. We don't know much about Enoch. We have another scripture I'm going to read in a moment. But in this conversation, perhaps it went like this. God said, Enoch, here's your opportunity. I've been knocking on Adam. I've been knocking on Seth. I've been knocking on Kenan, Mahaliel. I've been knocking on all their doors. Jared, all of them. And I'm knocking on yours. You've got 600 more years. Or do you want to go with me now? And Enoch said, I want to go with you now. I don't know what the conversation was, but isn't it neat to think about? Somewhere 6 generations later, it changed and Enoch now walked with God. The Hebrew writer said, by faith, verse 5 of chapter 11, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Why would we not open the door? Enoch opened the door. Why would we not open the door? How is it possible that after all this time, Jesus is still knocking? What prohibits us from opening the door? I'm going to give you 3 things. First of all, sometimes the noise is too loud. You know, we've got these music players now. I mean, you've got them on your phone. You've got Alexa, you can say, play this. And you've got all these ways, Spotify and Pandora. And we can play this music. Maybe we're cleaning house one day and we've got some music turned up and we're motivated and we're going. And somebody comes and knocks on the door and we don't hear them. Later on, they text us, they call us, say, hey, I came by your house to bring you such and such, but I knocked on the door, but I heard music and nobody came. Well, I was cleaning, I had the music played, and I didn't hear you. Well, spiritually, sometimes we have too much noise to hear Jesus knocking. 2 Timothy 3, we have these words, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. You see, that's a lot of noise. And there's a lot of noise around us. And perhaps in your life today, there's a lot of noise going on. Maybe we've become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so, in fact, Jesus has been knocking, but the noise has been drowned out. The noise has drowned it out. And we can't hear the knock anymore. And so today, it's time to turn the noise down. It's time to get the noise out. It's time to get the distractions out. And it's time to open the door again. But that's not the only reason we don't open the door. Number two, sometimes we don't open the door because our lives get too busy. One of Satan's greatest tools, in my opinion, is to get us busy, and he's done that. He's gotten us busy. Now, we're not busy doing God's work. We're busy doing other things. They're not even bad things. Have you thought about that? Sometimes we can get so busy doing good things that we still don't do God things. And that's kind of how it is. Well, maybe I'm busy doing something in the backyard and I don't hear Jesus knocking. Maybe I'm busy doing something in my office or in my room or in the living room. Or maybe the TV's just too good a show and I hear, maybe there's a knock. I don't know, maybe I'm, but I'm busy. I don't need to go to the door right now. That's how it is. Revelation 3, Jesus said to the church at Laodicea that we're reading about today, He said, He knows our works. That means our deeds, our efforts, the things we do. He knows them. He knows what we're doing. If we aren't careful, we'll treat Jesus the same way we treat that random door knocker. I'm just too busy to answer the door. But then finally, there's another reason. There may be more that people don't answer the door. And I put in parentheses because I want you to think about this. Sometimes people don't answer the door because they say, hey, our souls are too spotted. They're too dirty. People believe that. That is a real belief. I can't answer the door because my life is dirty. Think about this. People come and knock on our door. Hey, I can't let them in. I can't let that person into my house. My look at these floors. You know, my floors are cluttered. We've got laundry on our couch. There's dishes in the sink. The beds are not made. These people can't come in the house. What am I going to do? I can't let them in. We don't want them to see. We do not want them to see the junk that's scattered in our lives. Much the same way we might say, Christ, I can't let you in because my soul is too dirty. Well, let me remind us all of this. He already knows what our souls look like. And yet He still wants to come in. He still wanted Peter to be His disciple even though He denied him 3 times. He wanted Zacchaeus to come down from that tree even though he had cheated people for money. He wanted that adulterous woman to go and sin no more and still live a life where she was not stoned to death. He wanted to give the woman at the well who had many husbands living water. Do I need to continue? There's so many examples of Jesus knowing everything about the person and He still wanted to dine with them. In fact, so much so, they said, this man is a friend of sinners. And I'm glad he is. So today, as we get ready to close, what is keeping you? What is keeping me from coming down this aisle and opening the door to Jesus Christ? Maybe it's lies. I've been a liar. I've lied to myself. I've lied to others. And I can't quit lying. Jesus knows you're a liar. And He still wants to come into you. Well, maybe it's my tongue. Maybe I don't say things I should say. Or I use profanity. Or you know, I take the Lord's name in vain. And I've done that. And I feel terrible about it. He doesn't want to dwell with me. Oh, yes, He does. Well, you know, I hadn't been coming to worship. I've been able to. I just hadn't been here. You know, we can call it forsaking the assembly, skipping church, whatever you want to call it, I've done it. Gossip. I love gossip. I just love and I've participated in it. And I've ran my brothers and my sisters down. And I've ran my mouth and all that. He don't want to come into me. Or maybe it's pornography. You know, I struggle with that. I look at things I shouldn't look at on the internet, on my phone, wherever else, TV, wherever else, and you know, my soul is just dirty. Maybe it's alcohol. You know, hey, they don't know how I am away from here. You know, I like to drink. I like to even get drunk and, you know, those kinds of things. Or maybe it's drugs. I could go on and on. He will not dwell with us. if we just keep on doing them. But it's mainly because we're not opening the door. But if today we decide, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live that life anymore. Jesus is still knocking. And He wants in your heart right now. And today, if you need to be baptized and wash your sins away, He, I am sure, will have the biggest smile on His face. If you're here today and you've kicked Him out, you've closed the door, well, today it's time to repent of that. Because He's gotten back up and He's still knocking. Won't we let Him in right now together? We stand and sing.